The House of Delegates appears to be sidetracked by debate over abortion even after a subcommittee killed a measure Monday introduced by first-term lawmaker Kathy Tran that would have loosened legal restrictions on third-term abortions.
Where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth, would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified?
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would
make. I understand
that.
I'm asking if your bill allows that.
Yes.
We are really one small step from New York.
Existing law already provides for abortions throughout the third trimester if three doctors certify a woman's health is at risk.
Republicans accusing Governor Northam of supporting infanticide over a failed bill on third trimester abortions.
It's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable.
But the state capitol today protests.
Probably one of the largest crowds I've seen here at the state capitol for a non-inauguration event. I'd say a couple thousand people here, all opposing abortion.
These women came from Hampton Roads in North Carolina.
It's great. I was glad to see so many people. Abortion has been around for a long time, but you never would have thought that people would go as far to say up until birth or after birth.
That woman referring to the controversy surrounding the defeated late-term abortion bill that came up this past session. Outside the state capitol, I'm Matt Demline, News Radio WRVA.
A firestorm is growing surrounding Governor Ralph Northam and a photo on his yearbook page from 1984 when he attended the Eastern Virginia Medical School.
It is his page on the yearbook, and among the pictures on that page in the yearbook is a picture of a man, two men, one in blackface, one in a KKK outfit. It is not clear that either one of them is the governor.
All right, good evening. Craig Henson here in the WRVA newsroom. We have breaking news tonight. Governor Ralph Northam has issued a statement.
I think the apology is your typical, gosh, I'm sorry I got caught sort of apology.
The Richmond Times-Dispatch has now issued an editorial saying that the governor, Ralph Northam, must resign.
A radio.com station.
Good morning, I'm Gary Powell. The roads are icy and the politics are hot here in Virginia this morning.
But Governor Northam is already saying he'll serve his full term.
I have spent the past year as your governor fighting for a Virginia that works better for all people.
Governor Northam says it's not him in that picture as protesters descend on the state capitol.
New Virginia Way! New Virginia Way!
I'm Matt Demline reporting from the state capitol. The next step in this controversy is going to come at 2:30 when the governor is scheduled to speak to the press from the governor's mansion.
White supremacy and racism should not be baked into the fabric of American life.
We trusted you. A black man stands behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Step away so he can step forward.
Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax is calling allegations he sexually assaulted a woman a smear. Fairfax admits to a consensual relationship with a woman during the 2004 Democratic Convention in Boston.
I don't know precisely where this is coming from. We've heard different things, but here's the thing. Does anybody think it's any coincidence that on the eve of potentially my being elevated, that that's when this uncorroborated smear comes out?
Virginia's Democratic Attorney General now admits wearing blackface to a college party.
The Attorney General admitting in a statement that he once wore brown makeup to imitate Curtis Blow, this during a 1980 party.
I've got to go on record and say this is offensive. However, I don't think that Mark Herring is the man that he used to be. I think he's evolved since then.
That's J.J. Minor, the head of the Richmond NAACP.
We are following breaking news. A second woman accusing Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax of sexual assault.
Lawyers for Meredith Watson have released a statement. They claim that she was raped by the lieutenant governor in 2000 when both of them were students at Duke University.
Hip-hop legend Curtis Blow is wading into the blackface controversy.
I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks.
Attorney General Mark Herring admitted earlier this week that he wore brown makeup to look like Blow back in 1980, bringing the rapper's name into the news cycle. Blow says he's a black man, a father, a husband, a minister, and a pioneer of hip-hop, and he hopes these regrettable actions can be turned into teachable moments.
It's a first alert weather day for a severe thunderstorm risk. There may be tornado warnings later today.
Severe weather on the way. NBC12.com forecaster Andrew Frieden says the main risk is from damaging winds.
We think we could get winds that go as high as 75 miles an hour that would take down trees and obviously take out some power and could cause some property damage.
Severe weather is marching toward the metro, spinning off tornadoes and warnings along the way.
We're still looking at upwards of
60 to 70 mile per hour winds, and we've got heavy rain and a few tornadoes can't be ruled out.
Some area schools were off today, and some had a half day of classes. Most of the rest, however, are dismissing early.
The National Weather Service in Wakefield has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for the city of Richmond, Central Chesterfield County, and Rico County until 2 p.m.
A severe thunderstorm warning for most parts of Metro Richmond has been extended to 2:15 p.m.
There may be some nastier stuff coming in later. From NBC 12, Jim Duncan is joining us.
The bad news is we're still going to be in for some scattered storms, maybe severe thunderstorms, and there is still a tornado risk into the evening hours.
Tonight's game between the Richmond Flying Squirrels and the Altoona Curve has been postponed due to the impending severe weather and safety concerns for employees, players, and fans. The game will be made up as part of a doubleheader tomorrow.
Alec Alton is the fire chief for Henrico County.
These type of events where you're talking about 2 inches of rain in a short period of time, and even couple that with winds between 60 and 75 miles an hour, can really create some additional hazards with power lines down, with trees falling down in the roadway.
A flash flood watch in effect through early tomorrow morning. A tornado watch in effect through midnight.
That first wave of storms brought down trees on power lines at St. Clair Lane in Mechanicsville and Richmond Henrico Turnpike in Henrico, but there are only about 200 outages or so far in the Richmond Tri-Cities area. Virginia State Police reminding you to make sure if you're driving that your lights and wipers are on, that you slow down, buckle up, and not drive through standing water. There is cleanup underway near Roanoke and Martinsville. Jeff Caldwell's with the Virginia Department of Emergency Management.
The first round of storms that came through the state earlier today did result in one confirmed tornado in Franklin County. And we're also hearing reports of high winds and potential flooding.
Are you automatically going to know the power's out somewhere?
We definitely need our customers to let us know if their power goes out.
I literally watched a dead tree go across a neighbor's fence. I'm sure he's going to be very thrilled when he comes home to find that he has that.
Right now, they're still doing damage assessments in Franklin County, but we do know that several structures were damaged by the tornado. And several roads still remain closed at this time.
It is raining here now. The winds had picked up. I know my trash can blew over. There is a tree down.
It is raining cats and dogs on the Lothian Turnpike right now. I left work at VCU.
More severe storms approaching the area. They're under a severe thunderstorm warning for parts of Northampton County, Greensville County, Southampton, and Sussex counties until 6:30.
A search for a suspect in the murders of five people in Louisiana ends in Virginia. Deputies in Richmond County say 21-year-old Dakota Theret was taken into custody at his grandmother's home after he reportedly killed his former girlfriend, her brother, and dad, and his parents in a separate shooting before driving to Virginia. Police in Louisiana.
After speaking with the mother of who was believed to be his girlfriend, there was no red flags. There's no sign of anything, so we have no motive at this time.
The father was, as you know, gravely injured at the time we found him, has since passed away, and we was able to get a dying declaration from him. And only enough information to let us know that it was his son.
Two young children in the home with the girlfriend's family managed to escape.
Those two children that walked to the neighbor's house, a 7-year-old female, 1-year-old male, need to be checked out. They were barefoot, cold.
Livingston Parish Sheriff Jason Ard says detectives have interviewed Dakota Theriot.
He has confessed to killing the five victims.
Theriot's grandmother called the Richmond County Sheriff's Office and went to a hotel afraid that her grandson was heading to Warsaw to harm her as well. Deputies staked out her home and arrested Theriot.
An outspoken conservative Virginia state senator in a competitive district is announcing his plans to retire. Republican Senator Dick Black says he will not seek re-election.
The Northern Virginia district Black represents won for Hillary Clinton in 2016, and the entire General Assembly is up for election this fall. He's never shied away from controversy, once handing out plastic fetuses, more recently meeting and supporting Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad.
The new VCU poll finds a quarter of Virginia voters unsure whom they want to control the legislature.
And I think that that's very interesting considering we're going into an election year where all 140 seats are up for grabs.
The governor, along with fellow Democrats, are sponsoring legislation in this session that would repeal the requirement to show a photo ID to vote. Another piece of legislation being put forth by a Democrat would allow for no excuse absentee voting for anyone. Currently in Virginia, you have to have an approved reason to vote early.
A redrawn Virginia House of Delegates map will take effect for the upcoming General Assembly primaries following final approval by a panel of federal judges.
The new district map was drawn by a court-appointed expert and political science professor at the University of California, Irvine.
Polls open until 7 tonight as voters pick the candidates to compete this fall in the General Assembly contest.
Turnout is pretty slow in the majority of the county.
Fighting Joe Morrissey upsets State Senator Roslyn Dance in the Democrat primary for the 16th district that stretches from Richmond to Dinwiddie.
Against all the experts,
yes.
Three governors, the
yes.
Democratic Party,
yes.
We won the Democratic Party.
To all of my supporters, I thank you.
Actor Alec Baldwin coming to Virginia today to help Democratic legislative candidates. He'll knock on doors, make calls, deliver pizza to volunteers at three stops, including one in Chesterfield, where he'll campaign for Amanda Pohl.
Not only is her assuming this job better for the state of Virginia, it's also good for women around the country.
Election day has arrived.
Virginia Elections Commissioner says there were a couple of early hiccups as residents started voting today.
It was three precincts, a little slow opening because they had some poll book issues, so they had to use their emergency backup procedures.
News Radio WRVA's Matt Demline voted in Chesterfield.
The total numbers that I saw compare fairly well to what I've seen in other off-year elections.
In 2015, we had 31% total turnout, and at 4 p.m., we were well over 34%.
It's been over 20 years since Democrats have run all of Capitol Square. In January, they'll do so again.
Democrats obviously thrilled to be returning to full control after winning majorities in both the state Senate and House of Delegates. Governor Northam says the focus now moves to governing.
It's going to take all of us working together to make sure that every Virginian has a job that they can support themselves and their families with. It's going to take all of us to make sure that we all have access to affordable and quality health care.
State Senator Dick Saslaw promised action on issues like gun control.
Tomorrow, the work begins, and the people want to see results. They want to see this gun violence curtailed.
Likely new House Speaker Eileen Fillercorn would be Virginia's first woman speaker.
Today, the voters of the Commonwealth of Virginia spoke loudly.
This has been a 2019 election update from the newsroom.
Congressional leaders meet today at the White House for a briefing on border security as the partial government shutdown goes into a 12th day.
Among the essential government employees working without pay are TSA agents, or transportation security officers, if you will. There's reports that they're calling in sick in large numbers.
President Trump says he'll deliver a primetime address tomorrow night. You can hear the president's primetime address live starting at 9 tomorrow evening on News Radio WRBA.
Democrats in Congress have refused to acknowledge the crisis. The federal government remains shut down.
And we are joined by newly sworn in Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger.
I'm a former federal employee. So for me, being at a place and time where it's almost become accepted that we can use shutdowns and federal employees as bargaining chips, to me, I just find that totally inappropriate.
Virginia Senator Mark Warner is proposing legislation to protect federal workers.
It is complicated. It will require verification.
Senator Warner pointing out we are very close to having the longest shutdown in American history.
We have 178,000 approximately federal employees that work in the state of Virginia. A little over 64,000 of those are impacted by agencies that are not working or are been paid by this shutdown.
Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring is warning of government shutdown scams.
Herring says the shutdown, now in its fifth week, will offer opportunities for scammers.
Unfortunately, we know there are people out there who will capitalize on federal workers' vulnerabilities.
Virginia Senators Mark Warner and Tim Kaine joined unpaid workers at Reagan National today to again demand an end to the shutdown.
We have, because of the work of the individuals behind us, the safest air systems in the world.
Unpaid federal workers rallied today in downtown Richmond.
The rally took place outside of HUD offices downtown, where Sheeta Mitchell works for the agency. Well, actually, she's been at home without pay since last month.
Basically, depending on savings, pinching where I can.
It's been the hardship. I got paying my bills, Dominion Power, Columbia Gas. That being a key politician, put us back to work.
Several people said they can't even find other work to make ends meet during the shutdown, because they have to get permission from the feds first. In downtown Richmond, I'm Matt Demline, News Radio WR. Yeah.
The FBI involved in the investigation into an online threat that has all Charlottesville schools closed again today. The online post that appeared on Reddit and reportedly originated from message boards used by white supremacists threatens an ethnic cleansing and warns white students at Charlottesville High to stay home.
Knowing that Charlottesville is always at the center of national attention, we have to make sure that we prepare for anyone who may want to continue to keep us there.
Breaking in just the last few minutes, there are reports that Charlottesville police have arrested a 17-year-old for the ethnic cleansing threat seen online that has kept students home today and yesterday. Meanwhile, in neighboring Albemarle County, police say a teen there has been arrested after a school shooting threat.
Looks like this is an isolated incident, the one that occurred in the county. It did involve a teen that sent a threat via social media to Albemarle High School that was to occur today.
Police in Charlottesville say they've charged a 17-year-old who made racist threats that closed the city schools. He faces a felony charge of threatening to commit serious bodily harm on school property.
Charlottesville students walk out after a racist threat closed the schools for 2 days.
We are calling on Charlottesville City Schools to denounce and call out racism against black and brown students.
A 17-year-old student has pleaded guilty to making online threats that caused Charlottesville public schools to cancel classes for 2 days last week.
The Charlottesville Commonwealth's attorney says that the teen was fully cooperative and admitted to writing and posting those online threats. The Albemarle County teen has no prior criminal history or any links to white supremacy groups.
The 17-year-old Albemarle High School student whose threat posted to a white supremacist site shut down Charlottesville schools for 2 days has issued a written apology. The student says it was his intent to post to a site he opposed, then later revealed that he was among the demographic groups targeted on that site. He says he quickly took the post down, but was horrified when an image of the post showed up hours later.
Even though I was not here in August of 2017, I know wounds have not healed, and I reopened those wounds. I am profoundly sorry for what I did and for the damage I caused this community. I am sorry that I let so many people down, including my parents, who cry whenever they visit me in this place. I had never seen my father cry before.
The student is being held at the Blue Ridge Detention Center, will be sentenced next week. Haas says he reached out to that student along with another 17-year-old who made threats because he said he got bored in study hall.
Hold on to your seats. UVA is playing for all the NCAA marbles against Texas Tech. But as Matt Denline reports, you can watch the action at the University of Virginia's John Paul Jones Arena.
UVA inviting folks if they want to catch the game at JPJ. Doors will open at 8. Tip-off isn't until 9:20. The event and parking will be free. However, the rules you have to follow to go to basketball games, think clear bags, will be in effect.
And, of course, you can hear coverage of the national championship starting at 8 p.m. here on News Radio 1140 WRBA.
And Virginia has done it in the ultimate redemption story. And after 114 years of basketball in Charlottesville, the Cavaliers are national champions.
UVA fans filling the streets in downtown Charlottesville after the Cavaliers beat out Texas Tech in overtime to win their first national basketball championship. Reporter Dory Zook.
Well, for reasons I can't really determine except going against my better judgment, I left the sidewalk to come out here in the middle of the street on the corner as thousands of students and a token adult here and there celebrate NCAA championship for the UVA Cavaliers.
But shout out to Kyle Guy, he saved the game. And I'm so proud to be an alum of the University of Virginia.
Governor Northam tweeting the game of a lifetime. Senator Mark Warner tweeting, wahoo wah, congratulations to our national champions. UVA will host a welcome home celebration this afternoon at John Paul Jones Arena for the team starting at 4.
And Virginia with the
The elation continues today for the Virginia Cavaliers alumni and fans following the winning of the first national title in men's program history. A celebration getting underway right now at John Paul Jones Arena, and with parking limited, you're probably too late for that one, but there will also be a celebration Saturday at Scott Stadium starting at 2.
Ten years ago, you came here. You said you wanted to build a program that would last. Could you ever envision this?
Well, I guess this really happened. We really won the national championship. So this guy's at home.
An active shooter is in custody after multiple victims were wounded this hour at the Virginia Beach Municipal Center.
We are getting reports of multiple people having been injured by a shooter out in Virginia Beach at the Virginia Beach City Municipal Center. Master Police Officer Alan Perry has confirmed there was a shooter in building number 2. Officer Perry said he could not say how many people were injured. We're asking everyone in the municipal center to shelter in place.
A lockdown has been lifted after at least 5 people are wounded or injured by an active shooter now in custody at the Virginia Beach Municipal Center. There are unconfirmed reports of 1 dead and 6 injured. So far, police are not confirming that information.
We heard shooting, but we didn't think it was that close, like in proximity of the building. So I just thank God that they were able to alert us in time, because if it had been 10 minutes more, we all would have been outside.
We do have an additional victim to report. We now have 12. One victim succumbed to the injuries on the way to the hospital. We also have 4 additional victims being treated at area hospitals.
He was firing a .45 caliber handgun with a suppressor, known in some circles as a silencer, and a rifle. 40-year-old Dwayne Craddock engaged in a prolonged shooting spree, killing 12 people over 3 floors at the Virginia Beach Municipal Center before a shootout with police took the life that took so many others.
40-year-old Dwayne Craddock, a longtime public utilities employee who had recently been terminated, fired indiscriminately among his now former co-workers.
Mayor Bobby Dyer calls the mass shooting the worst day in the city's history.
We're going to show that Virginia Beach is a city of resolve and dedication.
City employee Ed Weed was in the building when the shooting started.
I thought it was a disgruntled citizen or something, upset about his tax bill or his water bill or something like that. Never thought it'd be an employee that you talk to daily.
Governor Ralph Northam has a word for the families of each victim.
My deepest condolences and prayers go to the families of those who left home this morning and will not return tonight.
This mass shooting revives and renews calls for more effective gun control legislation. Chris Brown, president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence, says the Commonwealth has not adopted laws that could prevent shootings like this one.
Virginia has a long way to go. Even the most common sense measures to ensure that, there are reasonable protections with respect to gun laws have not been enacted in Virginia.
The police chief on 40-year-old Dwayne Craddock, a city engineer.
One of the pieces of the investigation will include the motive for this horrific act. And a lot of questions have been asked about the suspect's employment status. However, I will tell you, he was not terminated, and he was not in the process of being terminated.
Craddock submitted his resignation hours before he opened fire with 2 legally purchased handguns. He died following a gunfight with police. 4 people who were wounded remain in critical condition.
The man accused of driving into a crowd in Charlottesville, injuring dozens and killing one during an alt-right rally, could plead guilty today.
James Fields is due in federal court this afternoon for a change of plea hearing. He faces 30 different hate crimes charges. He's already been convicted in state court, with the jury recommending life in prison.
James Fields Jr. facing life in prison after pleading guilty to federal hate crime charges in the deadly car attack at the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. Prosecutor Thomas Cullen explains his decision to take the deal, which means Fields avoids the death penalty.
Given all the facts and circumstances, we believed that life imprisonment, or the potential life imprisonment, was an acceptable result. We also believe that it vindicated our interest in protecting the civil rights of those victims on 4th and Water Street. And we also believe it vindicated to the extent you can ever vindicate the tragic loss of life with respect to Heather Hyde.
A jury in state court had already found him guilty of murder and recommended he spend the rest of his life plus additional years in prison.
James Fields will be back in court today for sentencing after he was convicted of murder in the death of Heather Heyer during the Unite the Right rally back in 2017 in Charlottesville. He's already been sentenced to life in prison on federal hate crime charges.
The man convicted of federal hate crime charges for deliberately slamming his car into a crowd of anti-racism protesters has been sentenced to life in prison and more on state charges.
Outside of court, Heather Heyer's mother, Susan Breaux, was asked what Heather would say now that both the federal and state cases against Fields are done.
Get on with it. That's exactly what Heather would say. So at the Heather Heyer Foundation, I say hashtag step up, step out. And hashtag we move ahead.
Fields' life plus 419-year sentence is what the jury recommended. He was also given a life sentence in federal court at the end of June. Matt Davenline, News Radio WRVS.
We've got the NASCAR races at Richmond Raceway this weekend and the Monument Avenue 10K that usually draws about 25,000 participants. That steps off at 8:30 in the morning. And Ryko Police with some advice on tomorrow night's Toyota Owners 400.
If you don't need to be in that area after race time on Saturday, then we just encourage you to avoid that area to make it easier for you.
It may be a rainy weekend, but the Richmond region is rocking, and tourism officials expect to set hotel occupancy records. The story from WRVA's Matt Demline.
Even with smaller race crowds, NASCAR still gets several of the top hotel occupancy nights. Now add in the Monument Avenue 10K, a huge swimming event in Chesterfield, and other events, and rooms are at a premium.
We have become such a hot destination. We're at record occupancies. It's just going great.
The hotel occupancy record was set during the spring NASCAR weekend in 2014, but this year, you can factor in the Monument Avenue 10K race, the Tier Olympic Swimmers in Chesterfield, a cheer and dance fest at the Richmond Convention Center, a hockey tournament, and an ultimate frisbee event. Tourism officials expect to break that 2014 record this weekend. As for NASCAR, the fans are here and not too chuffed about the prospects for rain.
We'll have to take the Monday out of work.
It is what it is. It's about the camaraderie anyway.
Well, you know, weathermen's weathermen, so we'll see what happens. I mean, right now it's saying it's going to close in. I think it's going to be a late night race tomorrow night, so start a little later and we'll get it in.
Kevin Talley is here from Warrington and says he loves the Richmond track.
It's action-packed. Usually here, you know, the last quarter of the race is where all the action is, so, but it's just, it's slower, but it's a lot of action. Go to Bristol too, yeah, and you gotta, you know, the pit crew and the crew chiefs, they've got to be on their game.
If you can't be there in person, you can catch tonight's race live starting at 6:30 and tomorrow night's race starting at 5:30 on Richmond's home for NASCAR. News Radio WRVA. Parking restrictions and street closures have begun in earnest ahead of tomorrow's Monument Avenue 10K race, with thousands expected to attend or participate. And you'll find that list of closings and restrictions in our story at WRVA.com. If you are a participant and haven't picked up your race packet yet, you have until 9 tonight to do so at the Arthur Ashe Center.
Here he comes off turn number 4. He'll swing his car to the outside retaining wall. Checkered flag is up, and the Toyota Care 250 belongs to Cole Custer, who picks up his second win of 2019. Finishing in second, it was Austin.